Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message. Hey North Point, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, I don't know where you are, and I don't know what you are going through, but I want you to be encouraged today, because there is a God in heaven who sees you, who is for you, who is strengthening you with His power even now in this moment. And I just believe that today you tuned in to the right thing, because this is what we're doing this summer at North Point, and I'm really pumped about it. We are talking about the life of Jesus, not just simply who Jesus was and what Jesus did for us, but we're talking about how Jesus taught us to live. We're going to be looking at the life of Jesus, and let me just say this right up front, that we experience salvation through the finished work of Jesus. But we experience life transformation through letting Jesus do a work in us. We experience salvation. Salvation is already done. It was the work of the cross and the empty tomb. There is nothing that we could do to earn it or deserve it. It is a free gift that God has given us for choosing to believe in His Son. It is a finished work. Salvation is done. But life transformation comes when we allow Christ to work on the inside of us, to begin to follow the way of Jesus, if you would, the way of His thinking, the way of His behaving. We begin to follow in His way, and we begin to experience life transformation. And this is what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8. It says that if we have made a decision for Christ, then the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is living on the inside of us. And since we believe that the Spirit of Christ lives in us, then what we see in Jesus should be seen in us. What we see in the life of Jesus should become seen in our lives as well. And so we might be thinking, okay, what is seen in the life of Jesus? What kind of character traits? What is really there? What should be seen in us? I love the Apostle Paul in Galatians. He kind of narrows this down to 9 characteristics, 9 traits, and he calls them the fruit of the Spirit. And so what we are doing this summer is we are going through each of these fruit of the Spirit. We're kind of breaking these down, and we are seeing these things in the life of Jesus, and we're kind of taking the challenge, if you would, to see these things in our lives as well. So let's just go quickly to Galatians chapter 5, and let's read what Paul writes. He says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." This is what the Holy Spirit produces. The presence of Christ, the presence of God within us, it should produce this fruit of love that Destiny talked about last week, this fruit of joy that we are going to be talking about today. But now let me give you a quick reminder of what we talked about a few weeks ago, and that was that in John 15, verse 5, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and this is what He says. He says, "Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me are those who abide in me, and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." See, Jesus is letting us know that supernatural fruit needs a supernatural source. You see, your production is dependent upon your connection. Jesus said, apart from me, you can't produce anything. But if you will stay connected to me, if you will abide in me, if you will remain in me, then you will, not you might, not you could. He said, you will produce much fruit. And this is certainly true with joy. You say, well, how do you know it's certainly true of joy? Because just six verses later, Jesus still talking to his disciples, right after he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, you will produce fruit. You can't produce anything outside of me. Just six verses later, this is what he says in verse 11. I have told you these things. What are these things? He says, he's talking about remaining in the Father's love. He's talking about staying in relationship and connection. He says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Now, who's talking here? Jesus is talking. He said, so I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. And when you are filled with my joy, yes, your joy will overflow. Come on. Our joy flows over whenever God's supernatural joy flows in. Come on, that is good news for us. Our joy can overflow whenever we experience the supernatural joy that is found in Christ. And let's just say, Jesus' joy is supernatural. When Jesus said, I want to give you my joy, he's talking about a supernatural joy. Jesus' joy is supernatural. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus was not getting his joy from a new pair of sandals. Jesus was not getting his joy from a nice weekend at a five-star bed and breakfast. No, Jesus was getting his joy from a different place. And here's what can happen many times. Often we can reduce joy to the emotion of happiness. We can reduce joy solely to an emotion of happiness, but joy is something much more foundational and substantial than an emotion of happiness. I mean, here's how we know, because emotions come and go. Emotions come and go. The feeling of happiness, it can be here at 8 a.m. and can completely be gone by noon. I mean, it is here, it is present, it is real at 8 o'clock in the morning, but by noon it has disappeared, some Houdini act. I mean, it's like poof, it's here 1 minute and gone the next. That is the reality of our emotions. So we know that Jesus' joy was not just connected to his emotional status. No, no, no. It was connected to something much more foundational and much more substantial. Now, surely joy, it is an emotion. That is one definition, right? It is an emotion of happiness and an emotion of pleasure. Absolutely. But there's another definition of joy that I want to really bring our focus to, and that is this. It is a source or cause of keen pleasure or delight. Something or someone greatly valued or appreciated. You see, we have a source for our joy. We, as Christ followers, as believers in God, we have a source for our delight because it's someone who's greatly valued. You see, we can get our joy. Why? Because we value him. We value his love. We value his grace. We value his forgiveness. We value his power. We value his presence. We value him greatly, but not just because we value him, but we also live in gratitude towards him. We appreciate him. We are grateful for who he is, and we are grateful for what he has done. And it is in that value, and it is in that gratitude that we can find our source of joy and delight. You see, while joy can show up sporadically in our lives in emotion, it can be experienced consistently through our devotion. We say that again. It can show up sporadically in your life in an emotion, but it can be experienced consistently through our devotion. Why? Because joy comes from what I greatly value and appreciate. Joy comes from what I choose to value, what I choose to appreciate and to live in gratitude towards. And joy comes from what I deem as my source of delight. And when I have deemed God to be my source of delight, when I have chosen to value him and I have chosen to live in gratitude towards him, then through that devotion of my life, I am creating a substantial foundation of joy in my life. So when I begin to devote myself to God, here's what happens. When I begin to devote myself to God, God begins to develop joy in me. When I devote myself to him, when I devote myself to stay connected, when I devote myself to abide, when I devote myself to that relationship, when I devote myself to follow his way and his will, when I devote myself to that, when I devote myself to him, he begins to develop his joy. Once again, not the joy that the world can give. He begins to develop his joy, that supernatural joy, that supernatural joy that does not have its roots in natural things. It is supernatural. Now, Jesus doesn't just mention this supernatural joy to his disciples in John 15, but in John 17, Jesus is praying to the Father. And it's the longest recorded prayer that we have Jesus praying. And this prayer is right before Jesus is going to go to the cross and give his life. And this prayer is so powerful in John 17. But it's interesting. Now, this longest recorded prayer, this prayer for his disciples, this prayer right before he is going to give his life for them. I mean, you think, these are some of the last prayers Jesus is going to pray. This has got to be important. And what is Jesus praying? Jesus is praying this to the Father. He says, I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have told them many things while I was here with them. Why? What was one of the purposes that he told them so many things? So that those disciples would be filled with his joy. You see, Jesus definitely wants us to experience his joy. He told these disciples many things to be sure of what? That they would not miss the blessing and the benefit and the promise of living with his joy. Obviously, this is very important to Jesus. He is praying this to the Father. This is very important to him. And now we have to ask ourselves, what are some of those things that Jesus would have told them so that they would have his joy? Well, let's just look at one today in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus has sent the 72 disciples out and they've gone to preach and to pray. And it says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Come on, can't you see this? The disciples are coming back. They're gathering. They're telling each other their stories. And man, it's just so much enthusiasm and energy and celebration about all that happened on this journey as they all went out two by two by two. They're coming back together. Man, such an amazing moment. And they are rejoicing. The Bible says they come back joyfully and they're rejoicing that the demons have obeyed. And Jesus tells them, he says, hey, don't just rejoice because the demons obey. You need to rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. What was happening here? Jesus is challenging his disciples not to find their joy in an external situation, but instead to find their joy in an eternal revelation. He is challenging them, don't get your joy from this external situation that you just experienced. No, instead, you need to find your joy from an eternal revelation, because the external things will change, but the eternal things will always remain the same. Let me just share a hard truth with you right now. That is this. If your situation is in charge of your joy, then your joy is not supernatural. If your situation, your current circumstance, what you are going through right now in this season of your life, if it is in charge of your joy, if it is pulling and dialing the controls of your joy, then your joy is not supernatural. You have situational joy instead of supernatural joy. Don't forget, Jesus didn't tell his disciples, I want to give you joy like the world can give. He says, I want to give you my joy. I want to give you supernatural joy so that you don't live with only situational joy. Now you say right now, say, Philip, are you trying to tell me? Philip, if you only knew what I was going through, Philip, if you only knew what I was facing, if you only knew the valleys that I'd walk through, Philip, are you trying to tell me that I should have supernatural joy all the days of my life? No. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. That's actually what God is trying to tell you. That's not what Philip Dees is saying. That's what God has said to us through his word. Let's read a couple of these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and he says, always be joyful. Hello. Come on, say always. That's right. Always be joyful. There's no asterisk there. There's no parentheses that says except in these situations. No, it says always be joyful. He says, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ Jesus, if you are a Christ follower, it is God's will for your life that you would always be joyful, that you would never stop praying, and that you would be thankful in all circumstances. Now, I want you to know that there is a connection between your gratitude, your giving of thanks, and your joy. There is a connection there. So whenever we are thankful in all circumstances, it helps us to be joyful in all of our circumstances. Now, just in case you thought, well, maybe that just got misinterpreted there. Maybe Paul was saying something to the people in Thessalonica, and you know, maybe he got a little confused there in that letter. It's not the only time that Paul said something like this. Paul actually writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and he says, be full of joy in the Lord always. Come on, there it is. Say it again. Always. Always. I don't know about your Bible, but mine doesn't have an asterisk. Mine doesn't have except in these situations. No, it just says, be full of joy in the Lord always. And he says, I will say it again. Say it again for the people in the back, Paul. He says, I will say it again. Be full of joy. Just in case you didn't hear me the first time, I'm going to say it a second time. Be full of joy and be full of joy always. Now, let's just be honest. This fights against our human nature. This fights against our human nature. And that's why we need to be born again. That's why Jesus said you don't have access into the kingdom until you are born again. You have to be born again so that you can do what? Begin to renew your mind so that your life can begin to be transformed, because this kind of living goes against our human nature, because our human nature only finds joy in the good times. Can somebody say amen? That's what our human nature does. It only finds joy in the good times. But we cannot lose this joy that Jesus prayed for. We cannot lose this joy that Jesus desired for us to have. Just because things are not going our way in the moment, we cannot lose this joy that Jesus promised us we could have. You see, as Christ followers, we can never settle for situational joy. As Christ followers, we can never settle for situational joy. Now, I don't know about you, but this is really great news. This is really great news. It's great news because it lets me know that my level of joy is not dependent upon what I see around me, but instead on what is happening within me. My level of joy is not connected to what is around me. And why is that good news? Because I cannot control what is around me. I can't control what's happening out there. Oh, but watch this. I can control what is happening in here. And if I can control what is happening in here, then I get to control the level of my joy. Now, as we kind of bring this sermon to a conclusion today, I want us to go into the book of James, chapter 1, because when we read this, man, this verse, it can almost seem like an oxymoron. Like, how is this even possible? But putting it in context of all that we have already talked about, putting it in context of this supernatural joy that Jesus wants to give us, putting this in context of the joy that God intended for us to live, now we can begin to see how this can kind of make sense. In James chapter 1, verse 2, James, the half-brother of Jesus, says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds." Now you say, wait a minute, did I read that right? "Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." You see, it's an outward trial, but here James turns it into an inward test. Did you see that? He says, whenever you go through trials on the outside, turn it to the inside. You cannot control what is out here, but you can control what happens in here. Sure, it's a trial and a challenge out here, but you can turn it into an internal test in here, and you can use what is out here for your benefit on the inside. You see, this cannot happen if your joy is situational. But it can happen if your joy is supernatural. You can't walk into a situation like this and find joy if your joy is merely situational. But you see, we're not living with situational joy. We are living with supernatural joy. And with supernatural joy, you can walk into your problems and you can walk into your challenges and you can walk into your adversity with joy. How can you do that? Because of three words that I want to point out right there in verse 3. Because you know. How do you get to walk into the trial with joy? How do you get to walk into the adversity with joy? How is that even, consider it pure joy? How is that even possible? Because you know. Because you know. Come on, can I just give you three things real quick as we just wrap up, as we conclude? Three things that you need to know to live in supernatural joy. Three things that you need to know to live in supernatural joy. Number one, you need to know God is with me. God is with me. No matter where you are, no matter what you have gone through, no matter what you are going through, no matter the mistakes of your past or the failures of your present. No matter where you find yourself today, you must know that God is with you. The scriptures tell us in Hebrews 13, God has said, I will never leave you and I will never abandon you. And who is God talking to? God is talking to you. He promises you he will never leave you. He promises you he will never forsake you. He promises that he will never abandon you. So what does that mean? It means that he is with you. And if you're going to live with supernatural joy, you need to know that God is with you. What else do we need to know if we're going to live in supernatural joy? You need to know that God cares for me. God cares for me. It's not just that God is with you. It's that God cares about you. And it's not that God just loves you. Sometimes we can go, well, God loved me. God proved that he loved me on the cross. God proved that he loved me all day. So God loves me today because what he did for me 2,000 years ago. But that's not just what the scripture says. It doesn't just say that God loves you because he sent his son. That is just the evidence, the proof. That is the guarantee. That is just the beginning, because scriptures also say this in 1 Peter 5. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. He doesn't just love you because he sent his son to die for you. God's not just loving you because he's obligated to love you because of what he's already done for you. No, listen to me, friend. He cares about you. He cares about your pain. He cares about your disappointment. He cares about your fears. He cares about your worries. He cares about what you are caring about right now, because God cares for you. And if you are going to live and walk in this supernatural joy, you have to know that you know that you know that he cares deeply about me. Here's the last thing that we need to know if we're going to live in supernatural joy, and it is this, that God is working it all together for my good. God is working it all together for my good. Now listen, we can't say that everything that is happening to us is good. No, that's foolish. Look, I'm not promoting living in denial, but I am promoting living by a promise. And God has made you a promise in his word. Romans 8:28, it says, and we know. Once again, there we know. This is what we know. We know that God causes everything. Come on, say everything. Oh, yeah, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what you expected, and that's what you never expected. That's what has happened. That's what you never thought would happen. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. You see, if you have decided to follow Christ, if you have decided that you are going to walk God's way, if you have decided that you're inviting him into your life, then listen, I want you to know, if you love God, God loves you. And if God loves you, listen to this. He is working everything in your life together for your good. This is what I know. This is what I know. This is what I know. We could say that another way. This is my revelation. This is what I know. This is my revelation. My revelation is that God is with me. My revelation is that God cares for me. He cares deeply about me. This is my revelation, that God is working it all together for my good. This is what I know, and this is my revelation, and my revelation will always supersede my situation. That's why it doesn't matter what's happening around me, because I've got a revelation about what is happening on the inside of me. And there is a God that is with me. And there is a God who cares for me. And there is a God who is working all these things together out here on the outside. And he's working them all together for my good. So therefore, I'm going to be joyful always. Therefore, I choose to rejoice. Therefore, I am not going to move away from my supernatural joy. I am not going to fall into the trap of situational joy. I choose supernatural joy because I know, and my revelation is superseding all of my situations. You know, we're closing out all of our sermons this year with a lead acrostic, and simply because we want to lead ourselves well in 2021, and we want to be able to lead others well. So if we're going to do that, we got to know what we're learning, got to know what we're evaluating, got to know what we're applying, got to do it again, right? And so here today, our takeaway from today is that our joy is supernatural, not situational. As Christ followers, our joy is supernatural, not situational. Our evaluation today is simply this: does my joy come from what I know, or does it come from what I feel? Does my joy come from what I know, or does it come from what I feel? Here's our application. Remind yourself every day this week, God is for me, God is with me, God cares about me, and God is working everything together for my good. That is my application this week. That is my application to put into my evaluation. Because maybe you would say today, man, in my evaluation, man, my situations are determining my joy. My circumstances are determining my joy. What's happening in my family, that is the sole determinant of what is happening in my levels of joy. And you say, man, I don't want to have joy just because of what I feel. I want to have joy because of what I know. Because I know he's with me. Because I know he cares about me. Because I know and I am convinced that he's working everything together for my good. You see, out of that evaluation, we just got to put some things into application. And just do that. Just remind yourself every day this week of those three simple things. I can promise you, as you go through that process, you're going to begin to experience a deeper level of joy in your life, a real supernatural joy. It's not rooted in your situations, but it's rooted in God's supernatural grace and power. And then the D is simply this: do it again. Come on, just do it again. Just do it again. Keep leaning in and abiding in him so that you might see the supernatural fruit of joy in your life. Come on, can I pray for you today? Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you have allowed us to abide in you, to stay connected and in relationship with you so that we might bear fruit in our lives. Not fruit that the world could produce, but real supernatural fruit. And God, today my prayer for each and every single person that is watching me in this moment, that they would begin to produce the supernatural fruit of joy. That they would have pure joy, God, because they know that you are with them, that you care about them, and that you are working everything together for their good. Jesus, we need you, and we lean into you in this moment because we know the only way we will have sustaining joy is when we connect with your supernatural grace and power. And that's what we need today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, thank you so much again for joining us today as we've been talking through this supernatural joy. And hey, next week we're moving in and we're going to talk about peace. Peace. We've talked about love, joy, and now we're moving in to how do we see the fruit of peace in our lives. And I know who's going to show us how to do it. It's going to be Jesus, because this summer is all about Jesus. God bless you. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.